Jan Saraski has been a book reviewer, movie reviewer, and has taught writing at a literary center and a number of colleges in New York, and is recovering from laryngitis, which you maybe could tell from her somewhat raspy voice there. Jan Saraski, welcome to Write on Radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Well, tell us a little bit about the book itself. You chose to sort of focus much more on the early days of Queen Boudica than the ultimate battle that she has with the Romans later in life, which is what she's probably best known for, although I suppose many people don't remember her at all. But tell us a little bit about the book itself.
Well, I chose to focus on that because most books that have been written about Boudica, and mainly they have been academic books mostly, there have been perhaps quite a long time ago a novel, but mostly they've been academic tomes, and they have all assumed that Boudica, and I thought perhaps just because she is a woman, was born as a kind of a general or something and a big warrior at the time of birth. So I really thought that since we don't really have any information at all, I just didn't think that that would have been the case. I don't think anyone is. I don't think people are born and are warriors at the age of two or three. So I thought to imagine what might have caused Boudica to do what she did in the long run. What might have been her motive, and would she have just been doing this or thinking this since childhood? And I didn't think so. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give her a life before that, which I think most people in making decisions of courage have before they're asked to do whatever they do.
Right. Yeah, I think you did a great job of bringing us into that time, letting us see it. It almost to me read in some ways like a historian going back and looking at that time and seeing, you know, what was the food like, what were the celebrations like, what were the people like. It really seemed to get at everything about that time period rather than just focusing on her, for example. It was sort of a much broader treatment than I expected.
Which I liked. Thank you. I really thought that people just don't have acts of courage in a vacuum. I think certain things inspire them and perhaps do all the way along in their life. And I thought of the beautiful countryside of England as it is today and most likely was then, and all the other things, perhaps her culture and the way that she lived, would have all come together to bring about her act of courage, which happened perhaps more in her middle years anyway, that she had to have a life before that and what might have inspired her to do that.
Mm-hmm. And there isn't much known about her, really, is there? I mean, all the histories, the contemporary histories, were written by Roman conquerors, essentially. So there's very little that's really passed down through the history books, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. There is really nothing left. The Celts left no writings at all. And what little there is was perhaps brought about by archaeologists, and they found very little. So there is nothing in the voice of the Celts at all. But there are, of course, a lot of Roman writings which describe the battle. And most likely they're looking at it from the eyes of the victors. They would like to be very triumphant and make the Celts out to be something they perhaps might not have been. But the best writings that I did find were Caesar, and actually he wasn't alive then when at the time of Boudica, but he had tried to subdue Britain perhaps 100 years before she was born. So, but his writings are very vivid in how he feels about the Celts. He had written about what he thought the Celts were like, but he had to leave Britain and go back to Gaul, so he never finished the job. But his writings about the Celts were very interesting, and the Romans thought very little of the Celts. They thought they could subdue them very quickly, thinking they were pagans, but it didn't really turn out to be true. The Celts were were very clever in how they approached Rome, and especially Boudicca's uprising was very, very clever in what it was.
Yeah, and one of the things that struck me was the surrender of Caractacus to, I guess it was Claudius at that particular point in time, and he, I think you bring this up in the book too. He basically talks about why did you even want us? You know, you have all this wealth, you have all these material goods, and we've just got these poor, simple huts up in Britain. Why do you feel that you need to conquer the entire world? And that was really interesting, and that was an interesting relationship in some ways between Caractacus and Claudius, which is also addressed in the book, even though it's largely about Boudicca. It also talks about Caractacus and Venutius as well.
Yes, that part was actually documented by the Romans and is pretty well known in Latin literature about Caractacus when he faced Claudius in chains and how he would not bow down to him. And that struck me when I remembered it from back reading the Latin version and how proud Caractacus was. And I think he exemplified the Celts and their spirit, which the Romans didn't think that the Celts were like. They thought of them as very backward people. And there was so much strength and pride on the part of Caractacus and so many other attributes. So the emperor had never seen anything like this. Any captive had always bowed down to him. So he respected that, and that was a moment I had remembered.
Yeah,
that I had read about.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting. This is Steve McAllistrom chatting with Jan Saraski about her book Rage Against the Dying Light. Let's talk a little bit about Prasutagus too. I'm not sure if that's pronounced correctly, but he was Boudicca's husband, and his approach towards Rome, because he was very much trying to maintain peace, wasn't he?
Well, he was, but I really used the different characters to represent how many of the different Celts felt. The Celts were very tribal and very independent, whereas the Romans were not. They were very together as a group, so that in the end was the problem for the Celts. But her husband, Prasutagus, I'm not sure how that, but I think that's how it is, represents the client king, of which there were some throughout Britain, and then there were many like Caractacus who would not bow down to the Romans. But the client king situation, which the Romans were very happy to get, was a situation where the Celts would not bear arms at all. They were not allowed to bear arms if they were subjugated by Rome, but only to bear arms if they were fighting for Rome. So they were, in essence, giving up their entire freedom. And freedom was what the Celts were all about. They were independent, tribal, and very much free people. So that went against what that part of the Celtic thought was. And I felt that Boudicca really was more aligned with Caractacus and Venutius in standing up for their freedom. But she went along with Prasutagus just because she was a dutiful wife. But she herself, I don't think, believed in giving up your freedom for that.
Right, right. You really do a lot of description in the book, not a lot in the way of dialogue. And you teach writing also. So talk about your decision to do that, because a lot of writing these days tends to focus more on dialogue, and yet you chose to go a more descriptive route.
I chose to do that in this particular book because I felt it was very important to show a few things. I wanted to show the countryside in particular and what she was surrounded by since birth. And I also wanted to show the contrast between the beautiful countryside and the Romans coming in and just squashing this without even caring about the beauty of the island. And pretty much that was in their culture as well. I don't think they appreciated it quite the same as the Celts did. And I wanted to show the contrast in that regard of the beautiful countryside and what probably inspired Boudica to fight, not only for herself and her daughters, but for the country that she loved.
This was sort of the start of the whole fall of the Roman Empire in many ways, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. I think they probably got a little too big for what they were doing, and it was probably falling upon them. And also the Celts, I think, really had an impact not only in Britain but also in Gaul. There were, the reason Caesar left originally was to take care of an uprising in Gaul, which was 100 years previous to Boudica. And there were a number of Celts, particularly along the Rhine and along Germany, that the Romans could never conquer. And and Caesar just couldn't understand that. He thought they were slothful and they never did anything, and pretty much it looked that way. But their spirit was very, very strong. And I think that's partly what I wanted to show as well, was the spirit of the Celts, because the Romans didn't conquer that. We still have the Celtic spirit today, which is, I think, the legacy of Boudica and her and people that were around her. So I think that was something the Romans could never really conceive of, is that they had the spirit that they did, because the Romans really didn't have that. They were conquerors, and that seemed to be that.
Yeah, well, very good. I really enjoyed the book. We're out of time. We're going to have to leave it at that. This is Steve McElstrom chatting with Jan Saraski about her new book, Rage Against the Dying Light. Jan Saraski, thanks for being on Red N Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me. I really enjoyed it.
That's great. We'll try to have you on again sometime if you have another book out there.
Oh, thanks so much.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.